Do you know what next year we should do?
What?
Is review the drinks ahead of time and have like an all-out extravaganza and just remake our favorite
drinks.
Oh
yeah, we should do that.
I like that.
Just get drunk.
You mean like for this wrap-up mini?
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
shit, if
pick
some
the
point,
top three or four and just make them
I was
all.
Gonna say, if at some point we don't have a mini, let's just make every single drink we ever made before and like discuss them in one mini episode
We could call it the
every single drink.
Every single fucking drink.
We could call it the rewind. We could do the ones that we did off.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We could do, yeah.
We have plenty of
random ass ones
we
never. Yeah.
Drive Angry? We have things to say.
Yeah, we should do a live tasting episode.
Yeah, we should do a live tasting episode. That's a good idea.
It'd be a lot of fun.
Pause for sipping?
Yeah.
add that to the list for sure.
That's a 10.
Everybody, and welcome to our last episode of Why Do We Watch This for the year of 2018, coming out, I think, on New Year's Eve Day. I'm Brendan Drischler.
I'm Chris Ravel.
I'm Lee Delahanty.
Oh.
And this is, as I said, our last episode of 2018. It's a mini episode, so we're not actually covering a movie. We're going to talk about what movie we will do for our first movie of 2019, give a drink recipe, and then we'll do what we did last year, which is we'll just kill some time by talking about what was our favorite and least favorite movies and our favorite and least favorite drinks of 2018 on the podcast.
Just so that, you know, this download was somewhat worth it for you, and it's maybe going to be what? 6 minutes long?
Yeah, you say that, but it's gonna... Watch it. You're gonna jinx it. It's gonna be like 40 minutes or something.
Perfect. You're welcome, everyone.
Anyhow, the movie we will be doing in January of 2019 is Julie Taymor's 2010 adaptation of The Tempest, which you may recall vaguely as the one where Helen Mirren plays Prospero as Prospera.
Mm-hmm.
It's also got Reeve Carney, Alan Cumming...
Benoit Shaw...
Russell Brand, Alfred Molina, Felicity Jones, Chris Cooper. That's who I was trying to think of. Chris Cooper. That's a big one.
David Statham.
Oh, Digimon Hansu. What'd you say, Lee?
That's who I was saying.
Digimon?
Digimon Hansu.
Yeah.
And
Digimon.
Digital monsters.
God.
I can never
nope.
do that.
It's always going to happen.
It's a little painful because it's coming, and I don't think it's intentional, but it comes really close to making fun of an African guy's name.
It just sounds like Digimon, man. That's all it is. It sounds like Digimon.
His name sounds a lot like Digimon, the digital monsters. They are the champion.
Yep.
God.
So, the drink that we will be doing for The Tempest is a little bit of a play on a Dark and Stormy, but legally not a Dark and Stormy, because apparently that drink is copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes, it is one of the few cocktails that is copyrighted, so you have to use Gosling's Dark Rum when you're making a Dark and Stormy, or else you cannot call it that.
It's true.
Which is ludicrous. Anyway, the drink we're doing is called A Solemn Curfew and Murderous Winds, and it's going to have 3 ounces of ginger beer, 2 ounces of cranberry-infused rum, and half an ounce of lime juice. And the cranberry-infused rum is just gold or black rum with some cranberries, and we're just going to crush the cranberries a little, let it sit somewhere in the fridge for a couple of days or a week, and then it'll have a little taste of cranberries, and it'll use up some of the cranberries we bought this weekend for unrelated drink.
Are we using Caribbean rum or Boston rum?
Sorry, did you say are we?
Yeah.
I have not thought that far ahead.
I haven't either. What's Boston rum?
Big difference. Well, Boston rum is molasses-based, and so it's a lot sweeter than Caribbean rum, which is more spiced.
All I know is color. They just specified color here.
My thought is, if we're going to do a Boston rum, then we should make sure it's like a real deal dry and spiky ginger beer.
Well, I would prefer that we find like a good Caribbean.
That's fine by me.
Caribbean rum, because it's going to have more of that spice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That sounds good to me.
That's a nice spice.
Yeah, and we should get
I learned a little bit about rum recently.
Hey,
guys.
Good for you.
At the Rum Academy?
The Rum Runners Club?
No, I don't know anything about rum, but I went to the Bully Boy Distillery and they were like talking about different kinds of rum. And it occurs to me that like a sweet rum with all the other stuff is probably not the best thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no, we should do that, and we should also do what you said, Chris, and get some pretty good ginger beer.
Yeah.
Because I think it does help if we have some decent spicy ginger beer.
We gotta steer away from that ale.
Yeah, we do. So that's what we'll be doing in about 2 weeks from now, again, when it's 2019, which it may already be by the time you yourself are listening to this. As I said, the thing we will do to waste time in this episode, now that we've made all the announcements that we need to make, is we're going to talk about the movies we did this year for Why Do We Watch This and the drinks we made for those movies. So,
it's a year in review.
That's right. A year in review. The closing of the year, part 3. I got the list here of movies we did in 2018. We started out with The Brothers Grimm, went to America's Sweethearts, then King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, then Fay Grimm, Earth Girls Are Easy, Cellular, Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Terry Mary Kahani, Immortals, Shock Treatment, Riding the Bullet, Odd Thomas, and The Christmas Chronicles. And the two ones we kind of, but not really did, were Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, and The Nutcracker and The Four Realms. Guys, which of those movies did you like?
I mean, like is really relative, isn't it?
I don't know. There's a few that I actually liked.
I really liked Earth Girls Are Easy. I thought that was fun.
Earth Girls Are Easy is, there's real, I mean, I feel like I did put it on that list, but I also don't think it belongs on that list.
A perm.
I love it.
A perm.
I think
a
it does punch. Belong on the list, it but I did think it was entertaining. Thank you, Chris.
A facial.
Anyways, I do think it belongs on that list, but I did think it was an entertaining movie. So yeah. It was an enjoyable experience to watch, and all because right. There was a lot of singing, it helps.
Spoonful of sugar. Here are the movies that I really don't like and never want to watch again.
Yeah, what's that?
Brothers Grimm.
Yeah, agreed. Do you want to just, like, go through each one beat by beat and we'll say real quick?
Thomas. I never want to see again. Shark Treatment is just not my thing.
I enjoyed it. I'd watch it again.
It's because you like the music. I don't really like the music in Shark Treatment as much. Everything else, I would watch again. I mean, honestly, I have watched A Murderous Rudolph.
I was going to say, I feel like it would take a lot of butter to get me back in the frying pan for America's Sweethearts.
Yeah.
It's a hard pill to swallow.
King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, I might watch one more time in my life.
Yeah, I feel like I would need a couple
would
years.
Would you want to show someone else to be like, check this out?
I would at least want to show them the giant elephants.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs. They're like skyscraper sized.
Yeah, they're absurd elephants.
They are like god elephants.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fortunately for you, you'd only have to watch like the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, although there are highlights, right? You don't get a lot of the heavy breathing music in the first.
I actually really love
me
the
too. I like it too.
Good soundtrack.
I would probably watch Valerian again.
Yeah,
It was fun.
Guys, I think it was a good year for me. Looking at this list,
it was a good year for Lee.
Yeah. I here are the movies that I like that I actually. I mean, I think a lot of them. There are parts of Mercury Spirits I like. Parts of King Arthur. Obviously, I like Fig Grim a lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I like Earth Girls Are Easy a lot. So it was like meh.
It was okay.
Valerian is colorful and bright and fun. Yeah. Terry Mary Kahani, I have strong feelings about. Riding the Bullet, I got attached to certain things. Everything else I could take or leave.
I think Riding the Bullet would honestly be one of the ones I probably wouldn't see it again just because I've already seen it like 3 or 4 times at this point.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm probably like, good.
I was going to say, do you feel like you've experienced enough of it at this
point? I feel like I've taken
life?
All I can take from Riding the Bullet at this point.
Even I feel like I don't really like, get a lot out of watching it again. I'm mm-hmm. glad to talk about it with you guys. But,
yeah.
There are definitely reasons I wanted to watch it for this podcast, and I think that, like, I don't really have a need to go back to it.
Yeah, I have to say, I feel like most of the movies on here, with maybe I would make a possible exception for America's Sweethearts, are movies that you could watch once and not feel bad that you watched them once, even if you never see them again.
That's true. Yeah. Although, I gotta say, like, I felt Immortals was sort of just a slog as a movie. Like, towards the end,
it gets super slow.
I was
yeah.
like, any time now.
Yeah, Chris turned into that gif of Judge Judy tapping her watch at the end there.
And just, like, cartoonishly rolling my eyes. I actually think out of all of the movies we've watched, the one that I was the most surprised by how much I really enjoyed it was Shock Treatment. I think it's just because from that one, I was the most thrilled from what I saw to be the largest amount of potential.
That's a good question to pose, actually. I'm trying to think of which ones like was the most surprisingly
King Arthur.
Entertaining
because
a lot
of the other ones that are on this list that I liked are ones that I put forth.
I feel like, yeah, a lot of these are movies I've seen before is the problem. So it's hard for me to be surprised by them.
I do also just want to put out there, honorable mention to Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again for surprising
oh,
all three
that's
of us.
A valid, yeah, that's a valid
with
like,
how good
movie that surprised me by actually being good.
And like fun and like actually had like an eye towards like design
and the Nutcracker, which I think surprised none of us by being not very good.
Yeah,
but what did surprise me was the Sugar Plum Fairy performance from what's her face,
Misty Copeland's dance sequence. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but
hey,
I just
update, they're getting a lot of mileage out of that Fall on Me song as well.
Are they
really?
I mean, Andrea Bocelli's,
that's true,
and his son Matteo. They're singing about like Dancing with the Stars.
I was gonna say, I feel like
it
for that
it
market.
Was on,
so
yeah.
Like all of the middle brow.
It was on
shit.
No, it was on Stephen Colbert.
Was it for reals?
Yeah.
Cool.
Him and his son. And they're like, for God, credit to them. It's a really good song, actually.
It just feels out of place in that movie.
I mean, no, it does.
It's a weird what I will say is that out of everything in that movie, like that is definitely a calculated, engineered play at your emotions. Like
yeah.
it for it, and as for that song probably being somebody being like, well, you know what would be good, Andrea, is like get your son to do a song, because this movie's about parenting.
Yeah.
And it would be like really meaningful, but like it's one of those things where like despite how calculated it is, I think it comes across as like a really moving song about like family.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things, I guess, that does help just by dint of the fact that they are a father and son, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you have that built-in emotional pull.
Yeah. And so, like, I really liked the choice to end the movie with that song. I just wish the rest of the movie was as good as that sentiment in the song.
I wish the rest of the movie was as good as the dance sequence at the end credits.
That's a pretty good dance
yeah.
sequence.
Yeah, I don't think anything surprised me, though, aside from that, really.
Yeah, I mean, King Arthur really did surprise me for how much I really enjoy. I mean, I guess I've taken to some of his lad antics in the past, but, I mean, I think what was surprising was that there were giant elephants and, like,
yeah,
a dark world.
That's
like, not
fair. I guess King Arthur surprised me, but not necessarily in a good way. It surprised me in the sense that this was not necessarily, like, some parts of it were exactly what I expected from a Guy Ritchie King Arthur movie, but other
small
parts of it
crimes.
Were not at all what I expected from a Guy
yeah.
Ritchie King Arthur movie.
Small-time crimes, the patter, the weird cuts in the timeline that
yeah.
were just baffling.
That fucking Dark Souls boss fight at the end.
Yeah.
That I found to be delightful, and I wish there was more of that in the movie.
Yeah.
Because would that have been fun?
Like,
it would have been campy and really dumb, but there would have been something really charming about it.
Jude Law turns into like a CGI demon.
Yeah.
Demon knight. With like a two-sided scythe thing, wasn't
something
it?
Like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's kind of big, you know, weird weapon.
The scene where he sells his soul to Ursula the Sea Witch.
And her, like,
her
mewling daughter sisters.
Yeah, I don't
know. Daughters.
Yeah.
Sexy daughters. Drink-wise. What are highs, what are lows? For me...
Well, maybe, perhaps we should cover them just real quick.
So, for Brothers Grimm, we had the Butters Grum.
Right.
That was, for America's Sweethearts, we had the Press Junket.
Mm-hmm.
For King Arthur, we had Wages, Mages, and Less Than Two Ladies. For Fay Grimm, we had A Long Lifetime of Intolerable Pain. For Earth Girls Are Easy, we had the Trio of Shots, named after the aliens Mac, Whiplock, and Zeebo. For Cellular, we had the Gin Razor. For Valerian, we had the Magellan Current Mojito. For Terry Mary Kahani, we had the Tamarind D-Light.
Dill.
I'm
Dill
sorry,
Light.
D-Light. For Mamma Mia, we had Memento Meryl. For Immortals, we had Ambrosia. For Shock Treatment, we had A Most Bloody Sunset. For Riding the Bullet, we had that shock game called The Bullet. For Odd Thomas, we had the Odd Thomas Collins. And then we all remember, for Christmas Chronicles, we had a hot Santa Daddy. I just want to say, for me, my personal low was probably Butters Grum. I applauded what we were swinging for, but something just wasn't right.
Butters Grum
was
bad, but I feel like there were others that were also bad for me.
Tamarind Delight is, I think, my worst drink. I liked the idea of Brothers Grum, I just think we probably didn't execute it terribly well.
I want to figure it out.
But
I took like sips of both of those mugs.
Yeah,
like,
for me,
it.
Honestly, so like, do you remember way back when we did Bunraku?
Mm-hmm.
We made that one drink that had like bits of cucumber floating in it.
Yeah.
Like muddled cucumber. So it just ended up kind of seeming like the sink had backed up and there were just bits of food floating in your liquid.
That's how you felt with
That's what the Tamarind Delight reminded me of, because there were just like little bits of fruit floating in it, and it's just not an appealing concept to me, you know?
Yeah, well... Yeah, that's why I don't like muddled drinks as a rule.
I don't. I mean, like, sometimes I do. I think maybe we over-muddled or something. I'm not sure. But either way, it just did not work.
Sometimes you have to strain it out.
Yeah, that's also true. Maybe if we had strained it out, it would
have
worked better.
But if you strain it out, you have to let it sit for a while so it, like, soaks up some of the flavor.
But that was a bad drink. Again, a good idea. Like, there were... I don't want to, like, masturbate too much into the microphone here, but I think most of our ideas come from sound enough places, right? Like, regardless of how shitty they turn out, I think we have a kernel of a good idea here.
I don't think, in general, I feel like our average is pretty solid in terms of quality.
I think at least they tend for me to be drinkable. Like, there are only a few times where I could not finish a drink. I think the Tamarind Delight was one of those times.
Yeah, I drank everyone's Tamarind Delight that night.
You may have.
In terms of my favorite name of a drink... My personal favorite is Wages, Mages, and Less Than the Two Ladies.
Thank you.
There was some real work that went into figuring out that name. Do you remember? We spent a little bit of an afternoon like spitballing.
Yep.
That was a good one. I also have to go with Memento Meryl.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. I liked the shock treatment Most Bloody Sunset a lot. I thought the use of yuzu juice worked really well.
We've had a great yuzu fall, haven't
we? Right, well, I mean, just because we had it lying around.
Shit up.
Yeah, so it's like, well, we might as well use it. But I liked it. It was a little tart and sour, which I think is a nice change of pace. We did a lot of good gin, I think, this year, too. The Razor.
It was a good year for gin.
What was it? The Gin Razor,
what was in the Gin Razor?
Gin, ginger ale, lime juice, simple syrup, and mint.
Sort of like a mule kind
of. Yeah, it's a little muley, mojito-y. It's...
My favorite, absolutely, 100%, was the Ambrosia.
So
it's like kind of like a bee's knees.
Yeah, Ambrosia was good. It was very easy to do, and it tasted very sweet. I mean, like, not very sweet, but, like, sweet in a good way.
And honey. It was a honey sweet.
Like, yes, honey.
Honey.
The other gin drink we had more recently was
Kiki.
Kiki.
What was that, Leaf?
The other gin drink we had more recently than...
The Thomas Collins?
Yes, the Thomas Collins.
With white whiskey? That was yum.
Yeah, that worked out well, too.
That's right, that was white whiskey.
That's right. Oh, well, close enough.
That's why it's so odd.
Yeah, with the yuzu, simple syrup, and soda water. Yeah, that turned out pretty well, also. It was a nice, relatively straightforward and easy variant on Tom Collins.
Yeah.
And I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm
trying to look at the rest of them and see how much I remember.
Yeah, I know. I liked the Magellan Current Mojito just because it was a summer drink, and I like every now and then when we get to do like an icy frozen sort of summery drink.
We need to figure out the consistency of it, huh? Because
I
thought it was delicious, but we did consistency wise
it ended more liquid. Yeah.
Oh, I remember was that one that I had, because I remember having a frozen one that I was like really
maybe it was purplish.
Maybe
we did it when. But, you know, before this podcast existed, we did it when we watched Burlesque.
That's right.
But we did pull it off where it was more of like an icy frozen drink.
We had lovely alcoholic milkshakes for the Vanilla Ice movie that one time.
Yeah. Yes, we did. True.
We should try and think of another one of those.
Drop the zero, get with the hero.
Oh my god, I love that movie. Cool as ice. It's not. It's really like hard to get through, actually. But
yes, it was.
There are
elements of it, certainly.
There are things I love about it. This is just genuinely hard to finish.
I also think, in general, I feel like we pushed ourselves to be more experimental this time around. Like, regardless of how it turned out, the Tamarind Delight was, I think, a good instinct. No, same thing with the Butter's Grum.
Like I said, like, it was a good idea. I think the concepts were sound for the Tamarind Delight. It was just, you know, it just didn't end up working. But it was an admirable attempt, I think, to do something that fit with the movie.
I also want to give honorable mention to Riding the Bullet. I had a lot of fun doing that. Yeah. I think it was a lot of fun putting that together. I thought it made the movie a more fun experience. And when we had it at our Halloween party afterwards, people fucking loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We got really drunk at our party.
That's right. It was also a great way to use up alcohol that's been sitting on our shelves for God knows how long.
Did we end up throwing out that pumpkin rum that someone
had signed? Yes, I did. Trust me.
I
think Lee had like a thimbleful or something. Like,
I didn't even have it.
I tasted some.
Okay.
I smelled it.
It was
garbage.
I did not even want to try it. Not going to happen.
Honestly, like, the one that sticks out to me, I think from this year, but is that Winter Sangria that we had for his Girl Monday. Wasn't that what the movie was called?
His Girl from Monday.
The Girl from Monday?
Yeah. It was like a rosemary sangria.
Yeah, that was
a rosemary cranberry sangria.
I'll find it real quick.
It was so crisp.
You know what drink I want to use, actually, at some point?
Just real quick. It was called an Uninsured Sex on the Beach. It was Prosecco, Riesling, white grape juice, apples, cranberries, and rosemary sprigs.
It was good.
It was good.
That was a lovely...
We should consider doing another winter sangria, perhaps.
We should.
Yeah.
So the Regal Beagle closed down recently, but they had a cocktail that I really liked called the Rosemary's Baby, which was plum, brandy, and rosemary, and it was really delicious.
Sorry, was it plum, brandy, or
yes,
plum brandy?
Like plum juice, brandy.
Okay. I've never had plum juice before.
We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. Prune juice, obviously.
Guys, we found yuzu. We can do it.
That's true.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to next year.
Me too.
Personally am getting more into mixing myself, and so I hope to improve my skills.
Of doing what now?
Mixing.
Ah.
So I like to actually employ the use of the cocktail shaker. I feel like it produces better results.
Yeah.
I feel like some of these drinks might have been better if we especially if it involves fruit. Like putting it in the shaker and straining it.
Well, I think we know better now, right? Yeah. Like, we've had time. This has all been practicing, right? We've done a lot of practicing, and now we know certain things that work and don't work.
2019 is the year of the pro.
That's right.
We're taking it pro.
That's right. We're going to get ourselves some sponsors, baby.
I also don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty excited about the schedule we have set for next year.
I am too, yes.
I think it's good.
I mean, I'm not saying mostly in the sense that, like, I hate some of the ideas. I'm saying, to my recollection, I am too.
Well, and you can only ever be cautiously optimistic, right? With this, given the nature of this podcast.
That's true, and I have not seen all the movies that we're doing next year, so that'll be fun for me too.
Yeah, I'm really optimistic for what next year is going to be for us.
That was a good segue.
It's a little fantasy heavy.
Hashtag great segue. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the beginning of the year. Well, the first couple of months of the beginning of the next year, and then it's going to get more dicey. But super excited for The Tempest. I love Shakespeare, and I love Shakespeare movies. And this one is weird.
It is a very fascinating take on The Tempest,
it's
I have to
like
say.
It's not like the worst Shakespeare
movie. No, but I mean, there have been some garbage Shakespeare adaptations, to be fair. Like, it's not, and at the end of the day, like, if it's Julie Taymor, it at least will be nice to look at, you know? Like,
and I will say this, in my opinion, Julie Taymor, even if sometimes her vision comes out a little hard to understand, or sometimes, like, a little janky looking, it's never not interesting.
Yeah,
it's always fascinating.
Unless it's Spider-Man: Turn Off the Dark.
I don't want to spoil.
Which is still
like,
fascinating in a trash way.
I don't want to spoil what we'll be doing after, but we'll be talking about because I love Shakespeare so much, and because this is the cop out, and they wouldn't let me do the mini before the episode because we had to cop out. Is that we're going to be talking about other Shakespeare adaptations as a mini topic after we've done The Tempest. But one of the ones that it would sort of break my heart to talk about, because I love it so much, is the Kenneth Branagh Gloves Labor's Lost musical adaptation.
Because the concept
it's
is
so
solid
good.
As shit.
It's so... I really love it. And it, like, I really think the choice to mix in the music from the 1930s was, like, such a solid choice. And it doesn't feel that weird to me. Like, it... Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Also, I think their tagline for the movie is quite clever, which is a new twist on an old song and dance.
Yeah, and the Love Sabers Lost is famously one of the shittiest Shakespeare plays.
It's true.
It's, like, not a good one. You're not starting with A-plus material.
It's up there with Two Gentlemen from Verona, where it's like, yeah, I think I've heard of him writing that play, but it's not very good.
It's a little bit less rapey than Two Gentlemen, though, which is a good thing.
Yeah, true that is.
For sure.
It's always good when you need to
have less rape.
When you got less
plays
rape.
That don't have your protagonists raping people.
Yep. I would say it's preferable.
That's a solid choice.
All right. Well, I guess we've said all that we care to say about our year in review. So,
consider this out fully copped.
That's right. It's been a good year, guys. Thanks for doing this. I'm glad we survived it once again.
Yeah.
We lived.
Yes, that's right.
We laughed.
Did. We loved.
We tolerated.
That's right.
Yep.
That too. So, we'll see you all 2 weeks from now with The Tempest. Watch it. It's weird.
It's fun.
See you next year.
Bye.
Bye.